I have a picture. I don't have it with me, but I have it at home. One of very few pictures that I have of myself as a child. I think I was about 2 years old in this picture. And myself and my sister and my two nieces, three nieces were in the picture. We were all dressed up. It had to have been resurrection morning. We had our little suits on. My sister had a little hat on her head. I think the others did too, little white hats. I remember my little preaching suit. I think my grandmother took the picture. My grandmother was preparing me for this. I had my little suit on, little tie. I've been, as you can tell, I've been in church for a while. They started taking me. I think my dad's told me that not too long after I was born, I was in church. So this is something that's been going on for a while with me. I haven't always been, you know, in church, as you know, and I've gone into that, and won't go into it today. But you know, I was raised in a household that believed in taking the children to church. And I grew up this way. And as a result of being in church for all those years, you know, things happen when you subject yourself to different atmospheres. Things happen to you. The way you think begins to be affected by that atmosphere. So as I have done what we teach here, along the way, there has been a lot of things that have had to be relearned on the inside of me as a result of all that I was subjected to. Not everything was bad. You know, when they talk about Jesus and his blood and his forgiveness and his love, that's good stuff. Those things you hang on to. The ideas of man, if you'll allow me to use this phrase, the business of Christianity. The business of it. We don't like to think of it in that terminology, especially here we are in resurrection morning. Why are you talking about that? Because I would say in the majority of buildings with the cross out front and a lot of people walking in this morning dressed up very nicely and the little kids having the little white hats on and the little boys in their suits. It's all about a business. See, this morning is a big morning in a lot of these churches because they get a lot of new converts coming in, and it's more indoctrination ahead for them. Mark, what you're saying is not very popular. I understand that, and I don't in any way mean to be hateful. I thank God. I rejoice that there are people. Doing everything they know how to do to lay down their life to preach the gospel of Jesus. I thank God for people. The sad part is the fact is that not more people have done what the Bible has taught. Not more people. There's not the number of people that I know the Lord would want to have the heart that we see written in these scriptures. To have this heartbeat on the inside of them. Because this heartbeat here, it's not about a business. The heartbeat that beats within the pages of these scriptures is a heartbeat for love for the people. a love that will carry you individually to a cross, to where you will lay down your life. I'm not talking about a physical cross. I'm talking about a cross where you lay down yourself for the sake of others. That the love will well up inside of you. A love for people. It's getting there with me. I'm starting to see more now than I ever have before. The love that I'm to have for other people. The willingness to forsake everything else in life for somebody else. Because when it's all said and done, that's the only thing that's ever going to matter. That's the only thing. In the eternity of things, that's it. Whose life did you influence for the gospel? Who's spending eternity with Jesus? Because of the price that you were willing to pay for them. As God showed me some of the specifics from one of the letters that Paul wrote, it took a while for me to see the real heart of the letter. I preached a little bit out of it Wednesday night at 2 Corinthians. Preached a little bit out of it. Just a introduction. When he began to show me Paul's heart as he wrote this, his heart for the people, I'm going to tell you something. I cried uncontrollably to see how Paul loved these people. The love that he had for them. You see, Paul didn't go running to them trying to make a church out of them. He didn't go to them trying to collect people together to build a building and to have a financial basis support. He never collected an offering from these people. There was no money motivation whatsoever with them. Nothing. Everything that he did for them, he did it because he loved them. I want you to think about that. How many churches today, how many facilities would close their doors if it came to that? If it came down to don't collect a thing from anybody. And I'm not, please don't misunderstand me. I am absolutely not saying that this is what we are going to enforce here. But think about it. How many would just close their doors tomorrow? It's because we have a business of Christianity. For a lot of people, it's a very good business. They can play golf a couple of times a week. They can come in and put on a nice outfit, stand before people, preach something, makes them feel good, and makes sure that there's an offering in the offering bucket, and then they leave, and that's the extent of it. That's not the heartbeat that's inside of me. Just so you know, they don't pay me a salary to come here and do this. They don't pay me anything. I do this because this is what the Lord said to do. And I didn't say that so you'd give me anything. Okay? Got to really cover all your bases. So open up to 2 Corinthians. Here's a letter. Now, let me say this at the beginning. You are so free when it comes to how you want to share the messages out of these letters. As long as you don't destroy the seed by breaking it apart, and you leave it in the context to which it's written. You know, you can use the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians and you can preach some awesome messages. But see, we've come to a place here where we've broke down, Pastor Dave so faithfully has broke down so many of these treasures in a book like this, that now we're reaching the place where the Holy Ghost wants to begin to weave these together so that we look at the whole book. We look at the whole letter. See, I can't stand here and teach you all the details, all of the individual revelations. Chapter 3, you're talking about the law written in our hearts. You know, that's not what I'm going to do this morning. What I want to do this morning is I want to look at this letter, and I want to be able to pull out areas that have stood out to me, that I know that this is the heartbeat of what Paul was writing about. And you can understand this because of Pastor Dave and Gary's faithfulness to teach these individual revelations. You know, Gary taught about the new creation reality, that you're not the same person. That's in here. That's in here. That the law, we don't look at the law anymore because of the regulations written on stone. It's been etched in our heart. That's in here. But what we want to do today is we want to see, okay, as the Holy Ghost instructed Paul to write this, let's see what he was wanting to go towards, the essence of this. So he begins in chapter 1, and I'm not going to go chapter by chapter. I'm going to pick out the things that, as I meditated this, this is what the Holy Ghost said. This is the heart of this. It's like if I had a canvas right here. Everybody, you've watched someone that's a really good painter. When they begin to paint, they're not putting in the details of the person's face right at the beginning. Now, at the beginning, they're making the broad strokes. Usually, they're doing the area that would later become the background. That's how he wrote this. He began at the beginning by making the broad strokes, by giving you the bigger picture, and then as he goes through chapter by chapter, he gives you the detail until he comes to the end of it, and the end of it will make you cry. Because when you see the picture, what you're looking at is a picture of Jesus. And when you see him, it makes you melt. You see, these people were being tempted to follow other messages from other people. And here's Paul and writing this letter to them, showing at times some of the fallacy of what the other people are trying to say. He does it specifically in chapter 10 where, and don't turn there yet, but he talks there about how they're trying to build themselves up and make them look like something. And he said, I'm not going to get into that. That's not what this is about. Me trying to build me up so that you're impressed by me. It's not it. Not it at all. But that's later. Right now we're going to look at chapter 1. Because these are the broad strokes. Verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let me stop there. I found over the last year, what really helps you out the most is when I stand here and I share with you the reality of this walk that I'm walking. And I can show you how there were times when we had no idea where money or food was coming from. In this last year, there were times we walked through this. Not today. Not today. I wouldn't tell you this on the day that it was like that. Not today. But during this last year, we walked through this. And in one particular time. See, what are you doing, Mark? I'm giving you comfort. Because I was comforted by this. When the money that we looked for wasn't there, all of a sudden, we went to the P.O. box. And we call our P.O. box full of money. I'll just tell you right now. We just do. We just call it full. Okay? We went to that P.O. box. We opened it up. There was an anonymous letter from someone, and they had gone to great lengths to make it anonymous. They don't live in this state. And I knew that because of the postmark, and that was the only way I knew where it was from. It was from this country. And inside of it was a letter. They talked about how much Debbie's testimony had helped them. They talked about how much our life, the way we live, just the way we live, encourages them. And they enclosed two $100 bills. This was a time, folks, that my refrigerator was looking very empty. To see that money right then, not having had to make a pull on anybody. Nobody knew. You didn't know. No pull was necessary. When you follow Jesus, when you do what He asks you to do, He'll take care of you. See, religion makes me nauseous. It does. Religion will take that right out of a person's hand. It will steal the joy of serving Jesus. It will steal the joy of trusting in Jesus and knowing that He'll provide for you. Religion chokes it. It hates that. It wants you to elevate a person. It wants you to elevate some kind of a crazy idea. That's religion. That's not relationship. That's not the reality of serving Jesus. Jesus wants us to come together and comfort each other with the reality that Jesus is more than enough. And here is my life as an example to you to see how much Jesus is more than enough. I won't listen to somebody that doesn't live what they preach. Are you kidding me? Why? Why? See, I can stand here with a clear conscience and tell you, follow Him. As long as you know that it's Him, follow Him to the ends of the earth. Because wherever He leads you, He'll take care of you. Amen. Let's read a little bit more. Let's start in verse 8. For we could not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Stop there. And I can't do better than what Gary brought forth on this understanding of the sentence of death. I'm not going to go into it. You know what it is. When he says go into the place that looks the scariest, that you know, this is, if I go there, it's surely the end. You can go there and know that he's more than enough. He's more than enough. This is how Paul is starting out this letter to these people. He wants them to know your strength is not in yourself. It's not in yourself. Your strength is in him. And he's saying, that's how I live. Go down to verse 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? And that word lightness means levity. Or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. And that the word there for word is actually preaching. So let me read it like that. But as God is true, our preaching toward you was not yea and nay. In other words, when we came to you, we didn't come to you preaching rules and regulations. It wasn't do this, don't do that, do this. That's the law. And as I already shared with you, when he gets into chapter 3, he said he's going to tell these people that law is already written in your hearts. And he finishes this statement here. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. To the glory of God by us. Jump down to verse 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. That's what a true minister is all about. A helper of your joy. Not to lord over you. Not to try and dictate to you what I think God wants you to do. Not to have artificial constraints on your lives. Not to come up here and to present you with a list of do's and don'ts. See, that's what I always, that was what I envisioned Christianity to be. That's why I didn't like it. Honest, I didn't like it. Don't make me go to that church. I don't want to go to that church. You know, 14, 15, 16, when I finally got big enough, I didn't go. Because I didn't want to hear about how bad I was. I already knew how bad I was. I already knew that. And you don't go out and drink all night and go to church the next day and not feel bad when you're sitting in the seat. That's not possible. And then repent. And tell yourself, I'm never going to do that again. Walk out the door. do the same thing the next weekend, end up in the same place, and finally you get to the point where you say, I'm done with this. I don't like to feel bad. I like to feel good. I've been there. I've done that. And it was, hey, I can't blame just the preacher. I could read. Thank God I grew up in this country. They taught me something in school. It's right here. It's not like we had to go somewhere and had somebody read a letter to us like they did whenever these were written. We live in a country, they teach us to read. So I'm not going to lay all the responsibility at the preacher's feet. I had a responsibility. I fell short in that regard. It's my fault. My fault. So here Paul is talking to these people. Does he love them? Oh my goodness. He loves. I mean, he loves them. Does he speak hard to them? Yeah. But he speaks hard to them out of that place of love. He corrects them out of that place of love. Not out of a place of, look at me, who I am. I want to impress you with who I am. And you can see that in chapter 12 whenever he talks about going to the third heaven. He won't even identify himself as the person that made the trip. He is not trying to impress them. And in the point in the area in chapter 11 where he talks about all the bad things that happened to him, he does it in such a way it's like, okay, if you're impressed and you want to be impressed with something, as foolish as I know that it is for me to try to do this and impress you, I'm going to do it this is foolishness. Understand it's foolishness. And he says it three times in there. It's foolishness for me to say this, but it's what you want to hear. So here, this is what happened to me. Imprisonments, beatings, I was left for dead. I was in the deep, in the ocean. Drowning, just bobbing up and down like a little cork. Is that really what you want to hear? Is that going to cause you to listen to me? Here's my heart though. My heart isn't to try and impress you with those things. My heart is, I lay down my life every day for you. See, in chapter 10, he talks about the weapons of warfare. And we've taken the weapons of warfare and made them everything other than what they really are. He said, the battle that I'm fighting, this warfare, it's not in the external. It will affect the external, but it begins on the inside, in the place that nobody ever looks, in the place that you'll never see. What you'll see is the after effects of the battle that I've waged on the inside of me. The battle with my emotions, the battle with my thoughts, needing to be transformed. The imaginations that want to run wild, where the enemy will try to take your mind and just take it and bend it. So I fought the battle here inside of me because I want to lay down my life for you. The love that I have is exemplified not in all of the beatings, not in all of the drowning, not when my feet were broken, not in all of that. If you really want to see the love that I have for you, it's when you don't see me. And I'm tucked away in His presence, and I'm laying another part of me up there to be put to death. It's the change on the inside that you can't see. That's really That's really the place where I can show you how much I love you. It's how much I'm willing to lay down, just like Jesus. Jesus said, come and follow me. Guess what? They didn't realize the end of that was going to be a cross. Come and follow me. So he wants us to come and follow him today. And that following process, it's not, let's go have a big church. Following process is, I will follow you to a cross. And I'll lay down my life. And not so that I can be exalted to any place of glory, because that's not what it's about. You try to talk to Pastor Dave. You try to corner him somewhere and exalt him. That he will run from that. He doesn't want it. He'll tell you, the only thing I've done is just what he told me to do. He doesn't want exaltation. Nobody that truly, truly has the heart of a servant, has the heart of Jesus, wants their own exaltation. If you see that in a person, that should be a red flag to you. Why in the world does that person want to be exalted? What did they ever do? Did they ever hang on a cross? No, they never did. I want to look at a few scriptures as we go through 2 Corinthians. Just a few. I just want to show you. I want to show you the heart that I'm talking about. Go to chapter 3 and start in verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You're our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. As such, trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are, and here's what I want to focus on, these next two verses. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. See here, this stood out to me because I'm looking. As I read through this, I'm looking for the heartbeat. Paul's reiterating again to these people, the sufficiency, it's not in me. It's not in me. The sufficiency that I'm telling you about, it's in Jesus. See, the comfort, going back to chapter 1, the comfort that I'm comforting you with, that I've been comforted with, is the revelation of Jesus and his sufficiency. And the fact that in myself, I'm nothing without him. Go to chapter 4. We'll start in verse 3. But if our gospel be hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. Are you starting to hear some repetitiveness here? We're not preaching ourselves. But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There it is again. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Stop there. Here's some more comfort for you. When you feel this way, when you're experiencing this, Paul is saying, I've experienced this along with you. I felt this way. I know what it's like to be in the trenches. I know what it's like to have this kind of pressure put on you. I know. I can relate to you. And here is good news. I came through it. He's more than enough to bring you through it. See, that's what I want to know. Don't tell me about how you theorize getting through my problem. I don't want to hear your theory. I want you to tell me, how did you walk through it? You tell me that. And so many times you go to some of these folks and you want answers. And you go there with this idea, this expectation in your heart that they are going to give you what you need. And they come up with some rote that they learned in Bible school or they learned in seminary. Some rote that's not got any power to it. And that it's just a way that they try to appease you so that you'll leave. That you'll walk out of their office and you'll feel like you got an answer. Bless God, when you walk out of the presence of Jesus, you have your answer. When you come and ask someone that spends time on their face before the Lord, you're going to get an answer. It may not be exactly what you want to hear. You're going to get something, and it's going to be from, this is the experience that I've had. I'm going to give you comfort from that place of comfort that He comforted me when I was in that situation. Do you see? He said this at the beginning. He said it for a reason at the beginning. The only reason that he needed comfort is because he was in that place and God gave him the comfort, and he's turning around and saying, look, I have this. And such as I have, I can give it to you. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. You can trust in His Word, that His Word is going to produce every single time. I'm going to go to verse 15. For all things are for your sake. It seems like I'm jumping around, but I want you to see that where I'm going is I'm bringing out, the Holy Ghost has shown me these things that bring out the heart of this message. And again, this is about the people, not about Paul. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many. The word redoubt means superabound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, and the word perish means to rot, the inward man is renewed day by day. Look at 17. For our light affliction. Do y'all really need to say anything? I mean, you can look at chapter 11. Our light affliction. Our light affliction. I've never been in prison. I've never had my feet broken because they took a rod and they stood my feet straight up like this and they took a rod and they beat till they broke every bone in my foot. Not just once or twice or three times. I never had that. I never had the kind of persecution that Paul had to deal with. And yet this man, look at what he says. Verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, those are eternal. What we experience on this earth is just a moment. It's just a moment. There are some of us who are fearful about what the Lord wants to take us into. We're fearful. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. It's only for a moment. It's only for a moment. In the whole scheme of things, there's eternity. There's eternity. That we will live. We'll live in the results of the life we lay down here. We'll live in the trophy, if you will, of the symbol of our life that we lived here forever. Paul is saying, what you all are experiencing, it's just a little light affliction. What we've experienced, he puts himself in that category, it's nothing. It's nothing. Because why? They can't steal your life from you. When Paul was done with his life, he laid it down. He laid that body down and went to be with Jesus. That's somebody I can follow right there. I can follow someone that has that heartbeat. That everything in their life was not about themselves. You see, in the business of Christianity, we've given people the impression being a Christian, it's just about yourself. It's about yourself. Have nice things. Not against nice things. I like nice things. I like my wife to look beautiful as she does today. I like those things. Oh, you almost missed that. But do I live for that? Is that what my life is all about? No. It's not. It's not. My life has got to be lived as an offering. And you might say, well, Mark, I'm not called to a pulpit ministry or the fivefold. You know, that's a cop out. It's a cop out. There's not any one of us. It's not been called to lay down your life. I don't care how it is. Maybe you're laying your life down and God's wanting to use it in the business community to fund this. I don't know. Your responsibility is to do that. Your responsibility is to do whatever he said to do. It's not just the person that stands up and delivers the message. That's what's wrong with the business of Christianity. That's what we think. It's all about that guy up there. No, it's not. It's not. The guy that stands here is only supposed to give you an example to follow. That's it. And give you instruction on what has been working in this man's life. And here's the scriptures that you can follow. And to be helpers of your joy. The last verse in chapter 1 of this letter. Helpers of your joy. Not to make ourselves out to be something that we're not. Help you as you walk this out. Help you. For us to lay down our lives to help you lay down your lives for someone else. And then it goes on. And it goes on. It's like that one commercial where I think it's an insurance company. And you see this, then the first frame you see somebody doing a nice thing and somebody else sees it. And they go in the next frame, you see them doing a nice thing. And it goes on and on. It goes all the way back in the circle to the first picture again. Well, in our situation, you give and you turn around and they give. And they turn around and they give. Out of what you battled for, what you did warfare for on the inside of you. When you spent those hours in praying in tongues, when you spent that time in fasting, when you spent that time meditating the Word of God, when you spent that time doing this that we teach you, so there's a change on the inside of you. So the end result can be when the enemy comes and tries your ground, that you won't crumble like we see so many times. That the people that try to stand up and say, okay, follow me, I got the answer, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. And there, people start following them. Next thing you know, all you see is despair. I thought we could follow that guy. He said we could follow him. He told us. And we did. That's not what Paul teaches here. Paul's not teaching us to elevate people and follow them. Quite on the contrary. He's telling us, follow me as I follow him. And the first thing is I'm following him to this cross where I lay down my life for you. And in return, you turn around and you lay down your life for someone else. And they lay down their life for someone else. And that's how we finally get out of this place. Or do you want to stay? I would rather just get on with eternity. I'm not interested in spending life marking off days until I die. That's not it. I want my life to matter while I'm here. I intend the rest of my days on this earth to be an offering to him so that someone else can be influenced and they can spend eternity with me, with him. And I believe that's what you are doing here. You don't come to hear these kind of messages because you want to just feel good and walk out the door. This isn't one of those kind of messages that is intended to just make you feel good. It's intended to spur you to something. All right, let's get down to it here. Let me just mention out of chapter 5, verse 15. Let me start in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us to hold together or arrest. The love of God constrains us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Stop there. Is there any doubt what he's saying? He keeps saying the same thing. Can you change Paul? No, this is the heart. This is in my heart because it's the heart of God. See, that's what broke me whenever I came to the very end. So go over there. It's in chapter 12. So when I came to this part in chapter 12, this broke me down. And I cried. And I cried because I saw his heart that he has been delivering over to these people page after page, word after word. And he gets down, and this is after he talks about this thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. I saw this definition. I'm going to just interject this on verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Look at me. Do you realize what most Christendom believes he's saying there? Just so I don't get so prideful. There's been a messenger of the devil sent to buffet me. Because the devil doesn't want you prideful? I would think he would want me prideful. Doesn't that make sense? So what does it really say here? Well, I did some digging to try and get a better understanding on the phrase exalted above measure. To raise oneself over. Plug that in. Lest I should raise myself over through the abundance of the revelation. The revelation that is working inside of me picks me up and lifts me over this. He don't want that to happen. We're not talking about Paul being prideful. We're talking about the revelation producing something that results in him going up and over the top of whatever it is that he's facing. And all the time, here's this devil sitting here doing everything he can to work what Mark chapter 4 says, to try to keep the seed from producing. He's fighting 30, 60, finally 100-fold produces, and boom, he's over the top again. That's what we're talking about. Not talking about trying to keep Paul from being prideful. The devil trying to keep Paul from being prideful. That makes no sense. But a messenger from Satan sent to buffet him so that he doesn't operate in the revelation, so that it won't produce, so that the Mark chapter 4 is at work, and that the devil is trying to pull that seed, pull that seed, pull that seed. Put that in your meditator and work on that for a while. We'll go down to verse 15. Now, just excuse me in advance if I can't hold it together. Well, I say this last part. And I, Paul, will very gladly spend and be spent for you through the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. I will more gladly spend and be spent. Spend and be spent for you. When I read that, it just... Here's a man that has fought hell to try and present to the people the truth. The truth. And what do they want to do? They want to go running after something other than the truth. And whenever he writes to them here, he's saying, look, this is my heart. I've tried to present it to you through this whole letter. It's about you. It's not about me. I'm willing to be spent for you. To spend whatever it takes to be spent in every area of my life for you. The more I love you, the more that you don't love me, I'm not going to stop. That's the crux of it. I'm not going to stop. Love me, don't love me, I don't care. I love you, and you can't stop it. And I'm going to continue to spin. I'm going to continue to be spent on your behalf. Because there's something inside of me. There's a love. There's a love that's so all-consuming that the price seems inconsequential to me. Having you in eternity means everything to me. And I will gladly continue. Love me, don't love me. I'll continue to do this because of this love inside of me. That's what Paul wanted to say. That's what the Holy Ghost wanted to say to these people. You see, on this resurrection morning, it's not about pretty little dresses. They're wonderful. That's fine. And it's not about the business of Christendom. That's not fine. It's not about keeping people on the payroll and keeping the people on pablum. It's about me showing you how when I was in a tight spot, I knew I could trust him, and I know I can trust him in the future. And the comfort that he comforted me with, I want you to be comforted by it, because you can trust him. Amen. Did you get something out of that today? And we'll see you at 10 o'clock.